reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45. Let me pray for us. Lord, just speak to us through your word today, and I pray that any attempts of the enemy to or distract from this or keep us from receiving, God, that we would have open hearts, broken hearts to receive your heart this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wrote in an email that some of you received that this word in particular, and even those that aren't here, I'm going to ask to go and to listen to it because I think it's very, very relevant to our calling individually and as a body. And it's really something, as I thought about it, I wish somebody would have taught me years ago. It's very simple, but it's also convicting. I've titled it, The Pig in Us versus Christ in Us. The pig in us versus Christ in us. And the pig, of course, always being kind of a representation of the flesh. No doubt a tasty flesh. Love bacon. But the pig in us versus Christ in us. And the pig is an acronym, and we'll get to that in a moment. But just delving into the scripture, we see here these two zealots are asking for a prominent position. They were raised to be revolutionaries. So when Jesus asked them, can you drink this cup? It's the cup and baptism, both metaphors for suffering. They knew what they were answering. Okay, these were zealots. They understood by this time. Jesus said that for the third time he had said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to suffer and die." But you know, their idea of what a bloody revolution looked like was different. In fact, in verse 32, we're told that they were afraid, and they were afraid because I believe that they understood to go alongside of Jesus was a revolution, and they figured a bloody revolution for their kinsmen, and obviously we know this was going to be bloody, but it was going to be one man for our sins. But they were very passionate, they had a lot of zeal, they were willing to sacrifice, suffer, and die, and that's very important for us to understand the context as they go into this. And again, I want to recall both Mark, who wrote this book, and Peter, who influenced Mark, were also very passionate men, but they understood and were warning us against passions that weren't submitted to God. Service and sacrifice that weren't submitted to God, and how that can actually cause more damage than good, cause more grief in their life and lives around them. I think the key to understanding this passage is verse 40. Where he says to them, "But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant." This is very important to understand that Jesus' will was completely submitted to the Father's. What was what Gene was saying earlier. He just would do and say the things the Father was doing and saying. His will, his sacrifice and his suffering was completely surrendered to the will of his heavenly Father. And so to understand this, we understand that he's teaching them that to understand your calling, you must understand that it's about relinquishing, not grabbing power. It is about not taking control, but relinquishing control to God. And I want you to hear me. I'm going to say this. And I was telling Millie, I said, this is powerful, not because the content or what I say or the stories or just the way I deliver it, but it's powerful if you could just grab the concept here more than anything. And the concept is your service and sacrifice are not yours to give. Your service and your sacrifice, my service and my sacrifice is not mine to give. It's his to give. See, I think that especially in the Bible Belt, we understand the need for service and sacrifice. If you've grown up in church, you've heard it over and over. You may have heard this passage thousands of times, that Christians are supposed to serve and sacrifice. But I think what we don't understand and what we typically miss is how damaging it can be to us and to others when our service and sacrifice is not submitted to God. See, we can have narcissistic service and sacrifice that's just as damaging as outright rebellion. The pig in us. Let me mention the word for pig, okay? It's my acronym. Because oftentimes we can serve out of pride, insecurity, and guilt. That's the pig, okay? Pride, insecurity, and guilt. Pride that, hey, I got something you need. I've seen it. I'm sure it's been in me many times, but I've seen it hundreds of times in this community where someone comes in with the messianic attitude. They're the Savior. The pride. I'm here to solve the problem. Or insecurity. You know, I my service is out of a need for you to accept me. Or need for you to respect me. Or guilt. I'm going to do this because I don't want to feel guilty. Or I want to feel good about myself. And so oftentimes our service and sacrifice comes from the pig within us, not Christ within us. And we'll talk about the difference of the two. Let's look at this calling in verse 43 through 45. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great must be your servant. Whoever be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is using himself as an example that his service, his slavery, and his sacrifice were completely surrendered to the will of the Father. So I want to look at these three, service, slavery, and sacrifice, and talk about what it should look like, and also what it shouldn't look like when it's done from a place of not submitting it to the will of the Father. Let's consider service. Jesus served his Father in a particular place on behalf of a particular people with a particular mission. That's very important for us to understand, that our service should be submitted to God in like manner. Our question should be, where, Lord? Who, Lord? How, Lord? Would you have me serve? It's not mine to give. It's yours to give. Sometimes we get in this notion that we're called to all people, all places, to do all. Jesus didn't do that. Why do we think we are supposed to do it? We have limited gifts that God has given us to give in a particular context to a particular people in a particular way. Every one of us in this room, you and I have limited gifts that he's given to us to give in a particular context to a particular people in a particular way. And we've talked about this with our church, real people being sanctified by Christ, changed by Christ, transformed by Christ, however you want to say that, to bless the vulnerable. And we've talked about in our particular DNA, in our particular shared experience, that we're called to the preborn, have for decades. And some people, you know, if you're called to that ministry, what is it, Lord? What gift am I to give? It can be overwhelming, can't it? If you're called to this community and the urban crisis, what Lord, what is it? What have you called me to give? How am I called to give this? What are the gifts that you've given me? If you're called to Africa, to Meta, what is it, Lord? What have you called me to give? How have you called me to give it? Very important. And let me just state this up front. It's not easy often to discern the will of God, and generally it takes time. You know, one of the examples that I've given, and I've given it at numerous luncheons, is in our book, Urban Shepherds. Barbara Barker, 7-8 years ago, when she felt called to Restoration Academy in this community, we titled her chapter, Learning to Loiter. And she's chastised me for that at times. She says, loitering, Carl, that's a crime. She doesn't like being associated with loitering. But the point is, she felt called to a particular place. And I do believe oftentimes that's the way the Holy Spirit leads. Particular church, particular people, community, mission, whatever it is. We're called to that. And if we'll stay long enough, God will show us what gifts he's given us to meet the needs around us. What limitations we have. And she, you know, her example was, you know, I came and first I started working with the kindergartners. And boy, they're lovely, they're cute, they're beautiful, but that is not my calling. And then, you know, then she just stayed around long enough. She just figured, and finally it was kind of these junior high school girls in the context of Bible study, and she's been doing that 5 or 6 years now. So it's not easily discernible right off the bat. Sometimes it's messy trying to figure that out, but if we'll wait long enough, God will show us. And I see you doing it, and I want to encourage you. I see in your various missions and calling as counselors, intercessors, givers, disciplers, teachers of children, hosters, tutors, whatever, that you're giving your gifts in a particular way. You know, for me, I was just thinking about my calling to this church. I was telling somebody really over time, I think that I'm more like a relief pitcher. I've got one pitch. I got one fastball, and I know it. And I'm okay to say, look, at the end of the day, one thing I know God has called me to is to preach. I mean, I know that, to preach, to speak. And that one pitch, and you know, but at times, and if you see me doing a whole lot more to that, you need to call me to the side and say, what are you doing, what you're supposed to be doing? You think you got a curveball and a knuckleball and a slider? You're going to wear yourself out, man. I'm doing these baseball analogies for you, Steve, so you can connect to the sermon. Steve's a lover of baseball. See, sometimes we have this modern notion, and I'm speaking from my context just because this is the way I process this message. You can apply it to yours, but sometimes, you know, with modern pastors, we say they should be the counselors, the caregivers, the healers, the planners, the hospital visitors, the facility maintenancers, etc. And you know what happens when we put that on ministers? One, it discourages people in the body from stepping up. Two, it burns out pastors. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to me if I serve the pig in me. Okay? If I serve the pig in me, if it's my pride, hey, I'm going to do all this, that, and I'm going to be in charge of this. Insecurity, I want you to like me. Guilt, I want to do this for you so I don't feel bad about myself. If I serve the pig in me, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to burn out and we're going to have a dysfunctional body. It happens all over the place. It happens in every context, and we need to learn to serve Christ in us, not the pig in us. Unsubmitted service can be quite ugly, and not just in the church, but you know, in our families. I was talking to somebody this past week, and they had told me about a situation where a member of their family was responsible to pay a bill, and I said, well, tell me how that's going. Oh, it's okay. I'm having the bill sent to me, and now I'm paying it. And they thought they were serving. I said, that's not service, that's sickness. And it may be easier to take someone's responsibility from them because you do it better, but the results are damaging. It's not service. That's not submitted service to God. And I know it's hard. It's hard in our families when we're having to let our young ones, you know, get out there and be responsible, or our spouses or extended family to do what they're supposed to do, and we think we need to fill in the blank all the time. That's not service. That's sickness. It's not coming from the heart of God. And I know it's harder. Oftentimes it's harder to do nothing. It really is. It's harder to step back and do nothing and then let God teach someone, or, you know, grow someone up, or show them what it means to be responsible, or, God forbid, live out a consequence. You know, my uncle used to say something. He said, we're more concerned about preparing the road for the child than the child for the road. Let's get out there and let's remove obstacles and make everything, you know, where they don't get bumped and bruised. Bumps and bruises, I don't know about you, that's about the only way I've learned things in life. And so unsubmitted service can be quite ugly and actually get in the way of the will of God. And I know you've learned that. I'm learning it. Happens the same in community. You know, one of the things, again, I'm just speaking from my context, excuse me, but I have to process this, you know, through my own lens and experiences. Well, in June, I hit a bit of a wall. And just some discouragement and some cynicism towards this ministry, not the church so much, more along the lines of the community. And, you know, I disengaged for a while, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to get away from this, which was good and healthy. But I was thinking about this past week re-engaging, and my first thought was, man, I was scared because I thought, you know what, the needs in this community will gobble you up. I mean, they're just innumerable. But I just reminded myself, what's my pitch? What's my fastball? I can speak, facilitate some things. God's given me some forums to do that. That's all I'm going to do. And so as we engage in this community, those of you who are called to do that, what's your pitch? What's your pitch? I promise you, over time, the Holy Spirit will show you what that is. What's your pitch? And I'm not saying it's going to be quick, you know, to discern that, but what's your pitch? What's my pitch? What are the limited gifts God has called me to give in faith, knowing it's just a small part? Just imagine if the body of Christ, we were all throwing our pitches. What an effective team we would be. Instead of looking to one or two people or thinking we got all the pitches, whatever. Serving the pig within us. Let's talk about submitted versus unsubmitted slavery. Not a word that we like, but it's certainly a word that's here. You must be a slave of all. And what I believe it's saying here, in any situation, you and I are there on behalf of others. Okay? In every situation, we're there on behalf of others. Jesus was his Father's vessel on behalf of others. And I want you to consider that for a moment with me. And I want you to consider the variety of ways Jesus brought the presence of God into situations. Variety of ways. Let me just list a few here. He turned over tables. He refused to speak. He spoke. He revealed sin. He forgave sin. He pronounced healing. He listened to others' pain. He wept alongside grief. He taught. He told stories. He reasoned. He rebuked. Okay? Get my point? There's a variety of ways and situations that God would have us to reveal his presence. Variety of ways. That's what submission to the will of the Father is on behalf of others in every situation. How, Lord, would you have me reveal your presence? Should I speak? Should I not speak? Just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in each and every moment being there on behalf of others. And it looks different. Someone was telling me this week about a situation. They got angry and they felt guilty. I said, wait a minute. That was injustice. Now, we can talk about whether, you know, what you said was right or how you said it. Let's be vulnerable and humble in that way. But righteous indignation in the face of injustice at times is the presence of God. It is. Some things should make us very angry. Now, Lord, what would you have me to do with this situation? I want to be angry and sin not. But I think especially, maybe it's just this country in the Bible Belt, we have this notion that righteous indignation somehow is not expressive of God's presence. You know, I was thinking about Father Terry this morning when I was planning this. When he confronts a clinic that's abusing women, that is righteous indignation. And I'm sure he would tell you, I've done it the right way, I've done it the wrong way, whatever. He's learned as he's gone. Jesus brought the presence of his Heavenly Father in a variety of ways. How, Lord? How would you call me to reveal your presence in this situation? It's going to look different in each and every situation. Let's talk about what unsubmitted slavery looks like when we serve the pig in us, not Christ in us. I was thinking about a story of that a friend of mine has shared, and it's just always stayed with me because it was such a powerful lesson in his own life. And he was talking about, as a young man, he was in his neighborhood, which was an all-white neighborhood. There was a kid, an African-American kid, that rode through there on his bike, and his friends began to pick up stones and bricks and throw them at this kid. He didn't pick up a stone or a brick, but he stood there. And he was just sharing this with me, saying just that lesson of what it looks like when righteous men do nothing. And he did it because of insecurity or fear. You know, I thought F doesn't fit into pig. Maybe it's the freaking pig. Excuse me. I don't know. But fear is certainly a part of the pig, you know, or insecurity, wanting to be liked, not wanting to be rejected. We serve the pig rather than Christ in us. I was thinking about an example at the school this week where, this is in the upper elementary, where rumors started going around the girl was pregnant. And it was false. But listen to me, it was hideous. 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 Destructive. I was challenging a couple of members of that classroom. I hope that you stood up and said, we're not going to repeat this. What do we do around gossip? Are we serve the pig? You know, I'm too insecure. I don't want to be rejected here, make you feel uncomfortable. Someone let you keep rattling on about somebody. Instead of treating that person that's being talked about like you would want to be treated if you weren't present. Christ in us. Revealing God's presence in each and every situation in a variety of ways. You know, I was thinking, again, me serving the pig, just pride, not listening. I've made horrendous decisions not listening. I was thinking about one in particular that I'm still facing some of the financial ramifications for because I didn't listen to my wife. And she spoke up. Millie doesn't struggle in that area. And I was just like, no, we're supposed to do that. Have you prayed about this? Have you talked to others about this? Oh, no, this is when you do this. That's me serving the pig. Pride. Got this figured out. I was thinking about a situation at the school where somebody did speak up. And I was so grateful because I knew the serving the pig, they would have never spoke up. We were launching our new website about a month ago, and kind of gathering as a team to talk about it, and we've done different things to direct it. And one of the members of the team said, look, when I looked at the website, 50% of our staff is African-American, Caucasian, we've got great racial mix, but when I looked at the website, it seemed most of the teachers and coaches and all that were displayed were white people. What kind of message does that send? And it mildly offended a couple members of the team who put it together and like, that wasn't our intention. Guess what? That wasn't the point. And I was thankful for the members of the team that were willing to step out and not be led by their insecurity. How many times in a situation have you kept silent and I kept silent where I should have spoken up? Because I didn't want somebody to reject me or think I was this, think I was that, serving the pig. Instead of serving Christ in me. Unsubmitted slavery can be quite ugly. Jesus was training his disciples to know that speaking up might cost them their life, and for most it did. Just speaking up, just saying I believe in Christ. We ought to train our children and our grandchildren up to know that speaking and declaring the things of God could cost them their life. I know that's foreign to us in this country, but it's not in most of the world. And I don't know where my children are going to be. I don't know where this country's going to be, and I don't know if they'll be in this country. And speaking up and declaring the things of God might cost them their life. And it's okay to preach that gospel because it's real and it's true. I know it's been years ago, but I was thinking of Cassia. Remember Columbine? Do you believe in God? Pistol to her head? Yes, I do. A martyr cost her life. We ought to train, and this is what one of the things that was going on here, is training his disciples to say that sometimes, in that moment, revealing the presence of God and what you say might cost you your life. Certainly might cost you persecution, rejection, humiliation. Submitting our words and our actions to God on behalf of others. What should I do? How should I say it? Revealing God's presence in a variety of ways. And it looks different. It looks different through different personalities, doesn't it? Let's close talking about submitted versus unsubmitted sacrifice. Jesus gave of his life, okay? Ultimately gave his life in obedience to his Father for our sake. We too are called to give of our life, our resources, our time. It's a mission to the Father's will. What should I give? Who should I give? How much should I give? Let's talk about what unsubmitted sacrifice looks like. When we think it's ours to give, and we serve the pig. I've seen it in this community over the years. People that have lived here, thinking that they, every time a need comes across their doorstep, they're to meet it. And I've seen it almost destroy their families. No boundaries, No sanctuary of the home. Where in the world do we get the notion we're supposed to meet every need that comes across our path? Is it yours to give? No, it's not. It's his. When, how much, no, whatever. That's his business. That discernment, that wisdom that he gives us. Let me ask you a question. Would Jesus want us to sacrifice our time, our resource to the point of exhaustion, sleep deprivation, and malnourishment? Because I feel like there's this notion, make a good movie, inspirational. But I don't see it, y'all. I know Jesus ultimately gave his life and his body, but if you study most of his life, he was a pretty balanced guy. He had a balanced cadence to his life. When he got tired, he broke away. When he got empty, he went to be with the Father. When he got lonely, he went to hang out with some friends and have them cook a meal. He had a real very balanced cadence to his life. I bet you he had a pretty balanced diet and exercise. We know he had exercise. He walked everywhere. But I bet you he did. Because sometimes I think our imbalance in our lives is counter to the will of God in the way we treat the temple he's given us. We're doing a health challenge at the school. About 80% of the faculty is participating in it. And Hope Health has been serving us and did blood work and blood pressure. And, you know, when a large percentage of your faculty and staff is borderline hypertension and borderline diabetes, that's an issue. Listen to me. A spiritual issue. A spiritual issue. God would have us use these vessels to his glory. I can say that as a man who had a big bowl of Cap'n Crunch last night. It was there. It was good. But I got to get back, you know, today. But, I mean, God would have us treat these temples to his glory and our balance. You know, I was thinking of a story that one of my professors from Covenant College, that's where I went and did my master's, and Dr. Jeff Hall, neat guy, he said, you know, I could be at my office late at night, and he said if 10 people came by, probably every one of them would go, wow, look at you sacrificing, working late. He said, where's the one that says, why aren't you home with your family? Where's your balance? I know there's seasons of imbalance, okay? That happens. And God even sometimes calls us to seasons of imbalance. But ultimately, I don't think that it's supposed to be most of the time. If we serve the pig within us, that pride, that insecurity, the freaking pig, the fear, pride, insecurity, and guilt, it can be quite ugly, cause you and I damage to ourselves and to others. But if we'll learn to serve Christ in us in each and every moment with our service or sacrifice, being there on behalf of others, it will advance his kingdom all around us, like Gene was saying. It'll just be better. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.